The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, my name is Chris. I'm calling from Belleville, Illinois. My comments about your DJ, J.C., what's wrong with this guy bashing Trump? Can't we support the White House? It used to be you supported the White House. You respected the office, not the person in it. For him to make jokes about it is disgraceful to me, and we're trying to unite the country. You sure the hell ain't helping over there. It's really pissing me off.
The president in no way, form or fashion, has ever promoted or encouraged violence, if anything, quite the contrary.
I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you. I love the old days. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks.
Rough up? He should have been. Maybe he should have been roughed up. Maybe he should have been roughed up.
Yeah, get him out. Try not to hurt him. If you do, I'll defend you in court. Don't worry about it. So if you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of him, would you? Seriously. Okay. Just knock the hell. I promise you. I will pay for the legal fees, I promise. I promise.
The president in no way, form or fashion, has ever promoted or encouraged violence, if anything, quite the contrary.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, April 14th, 2023. You are at JC on the line. How you doing, kids? Geez, I sure hope JC's in a better mood than he was yesterday. No, I'm not. I'm not. We'll get to all that here in just a little while. You might be planning a big night on the town tomorrow night, Saturday night in St. Louis. And if you are, make alternate plans. Well, first of all, there's so much going on. You got a soccer game tomorrow night. You got a baseball game on Saturday afternoon. You got the 13 Carnival at Wash U. This is something I used to go to every year. It's great if you got little kids. I brought home more dead fish from the 13 Carnival because I would go ahead. They have the game set. It's a big carnival, big midway, just like the neighborhood carnivals. You know, they used to come around. They still pop up in church parking lots and in mall parking lots. And, you know, the people who put these things on, they show up in these trailers, and they just look like these people who run it, look, they don't have any birth records of any kind, and they're putting together these giant rides that are dependent upon really important nuts and bolts and things like that. And we let our kids get on the rides, even though if you encountered one of these carnival workers on the road and asked him for directions to the nearest gas station, you might be taking your life in your hands. But I don't know. For some reason, the carnival comes to town and everybody's happy. But the 13 Carnival is put on by the kids at Wash U. And you got to be smart to get in there. So I figure they understand the importance of screwing the bolts in tight all the way. You know, putting a little nut on the end or something like that. And I used to take my daughters when they were just little and they would want to win a fish. And you would win a fish by playing a ring toss or something like that. Or on one, you know, some occasions, dad had to come in and try to win it. You know, it would be like throwing some sort of a baseball at a rigged iron milk bottle with more iron in the bottom so you could hit it with a bulldozer and it still wouldn't fall over, that sort of stuff. But I would always seem to win something, and they would give you a little plastic bag and you would scoop out a fish, a little goldfish, and they'd put that in the bag with the water and you would take it home. By the time you got home, the fish was dead. But it's actually, you know, when you think about it, pretty good training for what happens when grandma or grandma go. So you start out with a dead goldfish. Sometimes you even have a little Tom McCann shoebox funeral in the backyard and you bury it and go through all that sort of stuff. But the 13 carnival somehow is fun. I don't know. So the problem is that now if you listen to Dave Murray, and I do, the propensity of the bad weather will be in tomorrow afternoon. This flies in the face of the other meteorologists on TV in town who are telling you that this is, at the earliest, late afternoon and early evening. So you believe what you want to believe. I believe Dave, in which case then that presents a problem for the Cardinals, who have a day game against Pittsburgh on Saturday afternoon. So I'm just letting you know that. And by the way, a carnival or a, well, ball game is a little better, but a carnival is not where you want to be, where they're talking about high winds, possible tornadoes, and hail. They're specifically mentioning hail. Wide open spaces are not good to be in during any sort of a storm, especially a thunderstorm where there's lightning, but now you throw in the hail, you get a nice golf ball sized hailstone hitting you in the temple, and that'll get your attention. Maybe it'll take away some of the pollen. I mean, the cars are just caked over with pollen this time of year, but at least it's better than being in Fort Lauderdale, where this bizarre weather phenomenon where a thunderstorm, a pretty good-sized thunderstorm, basically parked over the city of Fort Lauderdale and then didn't move for like 3 days. And it just kept pouring to the point where in the course of 24 hours, there are places in southeastern Florida right around Fort Lauderdale that got 20 inches of rain in 24 to 48 hours. 20 inches. And there were a couple of places that said they got more, but they were questioning the validity of some of those totals. But, you know, once it goes over about 4 or 5, you have trouble. So needless to say, when you got 20 inches, that's not good. And while the temperatures continue to moderate, and it's even more than that, it's hot outside a couple of days here, Dave is also indicating that right around the 21st, which is next weekend, there could be a cold snap in here. And, you know, after 70s and 80s, you get a day where, well, I mean, even tomorrow is only going to be, what they say, 80s. And then on Sunday in St. Louis, maybe 50 degrees, maybe 52. And it looks like there's a possibility that could happen next weekend also. Jordan Walker's hitting streak ends at 13. You can start a new one, but that ties the record. The Tampa Bay Rays are now 13-0. That ties them with the 82 Braves and the 87 Brewers for the best streak to open the season. They can break the record tonight with a win over the Blue Jays. 13-0. Wow. Putting a little pressure on the Yankees and the Red Sox, huh, in their division? Yeah. Washington Commanders, that guy Dan Snyder, from the minute he bought that team, what, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you started hearing bad stuff about the guy. And then, you know, in recent years, it was like, oh, you've got everything from sexual harassment to all sorts of trouble. And the league basically said, sell the team because otherwise we're going to take it away from you and you're going to get nothing. So you might as well at least get your money back. So he got $6.5 million. That's wrong. It's $1 billion. That group that bought the team includes Magic Johnson. And now they're talking about Bill Bidwell's kid, who's been running the Arizona Cardinals, and apparently he's in trouble for the same sort of stuff. Couldn't happen to a nicer family. And while that's going on in Oakland, they had a ball game yesterday, and there were 3,400 people there. That would be 3,400 people. This is accelerating calls for the team to be sold or just moved to Vegas. Vegas is sitting there going, come on, come on. Which is interesting because on cable, Moneyball has been running for the last month. And I enjoy it more now than I did when I saw it the first time. I don't know why that is. Pretty damn good movie. And, you know, for I think that what had happened was that when I first saw the movie, I wasn't sure that the movie would stand on its own as a whole. I see a lot of movies like this, tons of movies, where I say there are some really, really good scenes in the movie, really compelling stuff. But overall, over the course of the 2 hours, the movie fails. Lots of movies like that. And I think that's what my take was initially, that it was a bunch of good scenes, but not really a great movie. But no, I think it might be better than I thought. Of course, I'm really recommending the movie Air. If you haven't seen that, that's something you can do this weekend. You know, temperature's only going to be maybe in the upper 40s on Saturday. Looking for something to do indoors. Go see Air. It's really, really good. Very, very well made. Do not take kids. Get a lot of parents who've been contacting me saying, you know, their kids or their grandkids, nieces, nephews, whatever, are such huge basketball fans and huge Michael Jordan fans. I guess it's okay. I can take them to the movie, right? And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. First of all, there's a couple of scenes, one in particular. Chris Messina, who plays Michael Jordan's agent. And by the way, you don't see Michael Jordan in this movie. You never see him. You see an actor that is shot from a couple of different angles, like from the side and from behind, or down low where you don't see his face or something. You just see this imposing-looking figure come into a room. But, you know, people always say, well, how come I see all these reviews and nobody says who plays Michael Jordan? Well, nobody, really. I mean, it's an actor. It's a guy who got a break. He's in a movie, a young actor in any kind of movie. That's a really big deal. But he'll have it on his resume that I played Michael Jordan in Air, but you never saw me. It's like Kevin Costner was in The Big Chill, but they cut all of his scenes out, and the only thing you see is his wrists at the beginning of the movie. But Chris Messina, good actor, by the way, and he plays Michael Jordan's agent, and he has one scene in particular that everybody remembers seeing the movie Full Metal Jacket, and Lee Ermey, the drill sergeant, talks about what he's going to do to the soldiers in a very punishing, sexually perverted way. Well, that diatribe is almost, I don't want to say it was copied, but it's very, very similar. Let's put it that way. So if you got like a woman sent me a note the other day, kids are 13 and 9. I was like, absolutely not. But here's the other thing. I think that people are under the mistaken impression that this is some exciting basketball movie starring Michael Jordan. It's not. It's an adult movie about adults in a very, very high pressure business, you know, high level corporate situation where, you know, they're all afraid they're going to lose their jobs because Nike is getting blown away by Converse and by the other shoe companies. And there was even some talk of Nike getting out of the athletic shoe business. That's how bad things were. They think they only had about 18% of the market. And these guys come along, but it's mature adult themes. And when I say adult, I'm not talking about like in a sexual way. I'm just talking about, it's a grown-up movie, and I don't even think a 13-year-old kid would have much interest in nor really sort of understand the intricacies of corporate strategery. I just don't think they'd like the movie, and it's not good for them to see that scene with Chris Messina, who is, I've already explained it. So you might enjoy it if you're a fully grown adult. The movie is Air. I give it 4 out of 5 corks. Night number one of Taylor Swift in Tampa last night. Seat on the field going for over $4,000. That's one ticket. But she is donating to feed hungry people in the Bay Area. Apparently, they forked over about 125,000 meals. The least you can do after people are shelling out $4,000 for one ticket on the field. What happened yesterday is a reminder that I need to have a tape rolling at all times. Otherwise, I miss stuff, and I missed this yesterday. I didn't get a chance to go back and do it to Channel 4. Channel 4 last night had a story about some kid who is, it's a sad story. The kid was injured, and they wanted to get an injury report, so I think it was on the 6 o'clock news on Channel 4. Let's toss it to Dion something or other. I don't know who the kid is. And he starts his report going, hey, the kid is going to be all right, but he's paralyzed. Wait a minute there, Dion. Which one is it? It can't be both. Yeah, it's like he's going to be okay. He'll be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life, but he's all right. I don't know where they're getting these kids. I don't know where they're getting them. And then you have the situation in a small town in California.
8-foot stone sculpture that just happens to look like a penis. And I will not tolerate that message from my county government.
This sculpture has been located outside of the county administrative building for decades. Some residents say it resembles a phallic symbol. Tuesday, the artist says the Pinnacles National Monument was his inspiration.
And what I did was I chose I chose the pinnacle, some of the formations as being the center point for our project in front of your county building.
But some concerned residents say it's offensive.
The women in this building feel uncomfortable, not all, apparently, but I mean, there are some women that feel they're offended to walk into this building with having this phallic symbol.
I feel that the board needs to be sensitive to public sentiment. I think that sentiment has been there a long time, ever since it was just put up there.
Some are calling the uproar a waste of time.
I find this insanely juvenile that we're actually talking about a stack of rocks. This should not be taking up this much time and this much energy.
It gives brand new meaning to the term rock hard. And you should have seen that last woman you heard. Oh, you should have seen this one. She's got your basic Andy Griffith girlfriend, Helen Crump hairdo. Actually, it wasn't even Helen Crump. It was Aunt Bee's friend, Clara. So she had a Clara haircut and was wearing a pair of glasses that would have made Harry Carey say, "How the hell did you get those?" Practically wearing a windshield. But one of our listeners by the name of Larry Thomas, I got to give him credit for this. I would never try to take a line this good and make it my own. But he said, "I hope these people protesting against this supposed phallic symbol in front of a government building hope they never go to Washington to see the Washington Monument." Pretty good line, Lair. And we got another 21-year-old anti-government twerp with a high security clearance. They hauled him away yesterday. As we mentioned yesterday, the whole Dominion lawsuit against Fox News Channel looks like it's going to kick off Monday if it gets that far. I know more about the legal system than I would care to, but I've just had to over the years because somebody was always trying to say, well, let's just take some of his money, and nobody ever has. And they keep trying and they keep losing, so I don't know. So I've been in lots of courtrooms. You just wouldn't... pick up stuff, you know, because you're talking to lawyers all the time and you just pick stuff up. And apparently the incidents of deals being made literally on the courtroom stairs on the way up to the place, to the courthouse, on the day of the trial, where somebody finally grabs the other lawyer and says, all right, look, I know this trial is supposed to start in 15 minutes. All right, how about we do this? And they throw a different package at them. We'll give you this much money and this and this and this. And they go, okay, put it in writing, and then we go. And so it goes right down to the final moments before one of the two sides finally caves in. I have a very, very difficult time imagining Fox News Channel allowing this thing to go to trial, because they're already dead. They're just swinging from a rope on a tree right now. All that is needed is the formality of the actual trial itself. So if I'm a betting man, I say sometime, maybe even over the weekend, they announce that some sort of deal has been cut. And as a matter of fact, even if it for some reason would go all the way to trial, and on Monday morning, both groups enter the courthouse and they're sitting there in front of the judge, first thing the judge always does, he addresses both parties, you know, out in the open. This is not like behind closed doors or anything. Out in the open, and he'll say, have you guys tried to settle this thing out of court? You give him like one last nudge to basically say, you guys know what the fuck you're getting into. But by then, it's usually too late. It's just a formality. Time, and I guess they don't even call it Time Magazine anymore because nobody buys magazines. Everything is digital now. But they say Time released its list of the 100 most influential people of 2023. Now, the first thing you have to understand is how these lists end up out there anyhow. It's in New York, and it's a bunch of people sitting around in a giant conference room, stuck in there usually like for the whole weekend, and they bring pizzas and Jolt Cola and Twinkies in so people don't fall asleep. And it's a bunch of just nervous, jumpy 20 and 30-somethings from New York, all working at the magazine, all, you know, living that New York lifestyle because they watched Sex and the City and like, oh man, does that look like a great time? Or maybe they watched Friends. I want to live in New York. Oh, it's going to be great. And they get there and they find out that their apartment is about 1/70th the size of the apartment they have on Friends. And as I've told my 13 daughter, who is obsessed with everybody on Friends, especially Jennifer Aniston, it's like, you know, you go work in New York and go live there, you're going to find out you're going to be working about 16 hours a day. So all those scenes are all just sort of sitting around the apartment, just having a great old time. They might get a day like that once every 2 or 3 weeks, because the rest of the time they're working, and even working weekends because they want to keep their jobs. And that's what New York does, especially in the publishing industry. They bring younger people in, they work them to the bone, and then they cast them away and do it all over again.
I just don't have any time to have indiscriminate sex like on Sex and the City. There's no time.
Yeah, welcome to New York. My room service breakfast, $47. And I wasn't even paying for it. I was just upset on principle. The movie studio was paying the bill, and I still didn't like the idea they charged me only almost $50 for breakfast. And that was 20 years ago. It's probably $150 now. Anyhow, so it's the lists are also constructed to generate talk. They want you to, it's the equivalent of posting something on Facebook that makes people go, what? I'm giving him a piece of my mind, you know. So in the publishing industry, and you're like, all right, we got to do our list of the most influential people of 2023. Even though we're not even 4 months into the year, I don't know how they know who's so fucking influential. Anyhow, here are the famous names, and this, they have it broken down into categories. Artists, Michael B. Jordan, Drew Barrymore, Aubrey Plaza, Salma Hayek, Zoe Saldana, Judy Blume, Colin Farrell, Leah Michelle. Oh, because she's on Broadway. Icons. Jennifer Coolidge. Now, look, Jennifer Coolidge is experiencing a real jolt in her career, a real spike right now. But still, if I went out on the street and asked 50 random strangers who's Jennifer Coolidge, I bet you maybe I'd get 8 responses from people who knew who she was. Who else is on here? Brittany Griner, Salman Rushdie. We haven't seen him in a while because they fucked him up. Pioneers, Doja Cat. I agree with that one. Skier, Michaela Schifrin, I'm already tired of her. Bella Hadid, oh Christ. Jennifer Coolidge again. Aubrey Plaza again. By the way, there's a huge story. Let me see if we can find this. I had it up here. Yeah, this is from BuzzFeed. Back in 2013, when Aubrey Plaza was, you know, really sort of trying to get her career going, there was a movie she did called The To-Do List. The To-Do List, about a sexually inexperienced high school student who compiles a to-do list of sexual things to try out before going off to college. And when she read the script, there was a scene involving her character that says, Maggie begins to touch herself and begins to masturbate. Okay, that's it. That's how the script read. Well, now they get to the scene, and the director's like, okay, masturbate. And Aubrey Plaza is like, you mean, like, pretend to masturbate, but you will just see my face, and that's all. And they're like, no, jerk off, dummy, and we're going to be shooting your whole body. We need your finger in your pussy. Now go. And she's laying there going, okay. Now, people always say, well, why didn't you just say no? I'm not going to do that. Well, because you're trying to break into show business. And, you know, if you are in the middle of a movie and somebody tells you to do something and you say no, that's it. They'll let you go and they will ruin your reputation in Hollywood. You'll never work again. It's a mean culture out there. So Aubrey Plaza goes to work, and the clip is online. And let me just put it this way. If she's not really doing it, then she is one hell of an actress. Because to me, it sure looks like she's doing it. I'll pause now so that all the men can go run to their other computer and pull up that scene from the to-do list. And now we get leaders. Leaders. Ukrainian First Lady Olena Zelenska. Senator Mitch McConnell. Oh, yeah. Lead us right into the greatest division the country has ever known. They got the president here, Cindy McCain, Sam Alito, Supreme Court Justice, again, leading us where? Titans, Angela Bassett, Padma Lakshmi, I can never get that name right, Beyonce, Patrick Mahomes, Elon Musk, innovators, Natasha Lyonne. Like I said, this is, you know, oh, and by the way, better luck next year, Kid Rock. All right, today on Amazon, the 5th season premiere of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Real time with Bill Maher tonight, Ben McKenzie, Katie Porter, and Piers Morgan. There's a good reason not to watch. Piers Morgan, as far as I'm concerned, has forfeited his opportunity to be on American television and open his mouth. He's a fucking loser, and I don't understand what Bill Maher thinks he's doing. I just don't understand it anymore. Ana de Armas, who a lot of people thought was going to win the Oscar for her portrayal of Marilyn in that movie, Saturday Night Live, she's hosting it this weekend. Fourth season premiere of Barry with former SNL star Bill Hader. There's a new podcast called Smartless that is going to be debuting, on May 23rd. Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett, and they go on the road. Some of their guests, Will Ferrell, Conan O'Brien, and Matt Damon. Again, it's called Smartless, and May 23rd is when you should watch for that. All right, birthdays this weekend. Abigail Breslin, 27. Sarah Michelle Gellar is 46. Adrian Brody, 50. Anthony Michael Hall, who was the youngest member ever on Saturday Night Live. He was 17. He's 55. He played Whitey Ford in the Billy Crystal movie 61 from HBO. Greg Maddux, speaking of baseball, 57. Brad Garrett, who is 6'8", from Everybody Loves Raymond, 63. Richie Blackmore, Deep Purple, 78. Pete Rose, 82. Saturday birthdays, Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones, 26. Emma Watson, 33. Emma Thompson, 64. Got both Emmas in there. Seth Rogen, 41. Chris Stapleton, 45. And Jen Sparks turns 46. Happy birthday, Jen, wherever you are, which is Los Angeles right now. Birthdays on Sunday. One of the hottest actors working right now, Anya Taylor-Joy, who broke out in The Queen's Gambit and now is in just everything. And I think she's amazing. And she hosted Saturday Night Live about a year or so ago and was incredible. This is one talented, amazing woman. And there's something really spectacular about her look, which is not beautiful in the traditional sense, but just stunning on some other level that I haven't figured out yet. Anyway, she's having that birthday. Martin Lawrence, 58. John Cryer, 58. Ellen Barkin, 69. Bill Belichick, 71. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 76. Bobby Vinton, and I mention that because does he still have a theater in Branson? I know he did for a while, and he somehow was close friends with Georgia Frontier. Do we still have that recording of the little songbird, the former owner of the beloved Rams, Georgia, please? This was at some telethon. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Georgia, sing!
May you always walk in sunshine, slumber warm when night winds blow. May you always live with laughter, for a smile becomes you so.
Let's go kill Stan Kroenke and Kevin Damoff. They took our team to L.A.
May no trouble travel.
Let's murder them with our bare hands and laugh all the way. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated. Please be seated. Cut it out! Back to Bobby Vinton. And before a Rams game, I'm going to say this is probably back in like 99 or something like that, they wheeled Bobby Vinton out on a dolly like Hannibal Lecter, and he sang the national anthem, and then they wheeled him back out. Now he's 88. And for my money, one of the great pop artists in American music history, Dusty Springfield. She died on this date, 1999, born in 39. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I Only Want to Be With You, Wishing and Hoping, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, Son of a Preacher Man, a massive, massive superstar who would have been even bigger had the music industry not really sort of caused problems for her because she, well, they were trying to say that she was bisexual, but she was a lesbian, and, timing was wrong. St. Louis Blues are playing golf starting today. What the hell happened? Well, I know what happened, but it's still very, very difficult to watch. I thought, just for shits and grins, because the season is officially over for the Blues now, I would go back to the 2019 season where we were all excited, and yet we were still reticent to get excited because we know how these things have turned out before for the Blues organization. And so, on one hand, we were like, this is within our reach. We could do this. But then history would get in the way, and they're like, oh, God, I don't know. I don't know. But it sure was exciting. Well, let's go back.
Gloria, Gloria, I think I got your number. Gloria,
I think they got the alias.
Gloria,
that you've been living under.
Gloria,
but you really don't remember. Was it something that they said? All the voices in your head. Calling
Gloria.
Brent Hull, the greatest audio clip from a victory party and rally ever, ever. We salute Lester Holt, who had to come in under really rotten circumstances. His close friend, Brian Williams, got embroiled in controversy, had to step down. Lester comes in. Well, turns out Lester's a huge hit. Ratings are up. Everybody likes Lester Holt. And Brian Williams, by the way, he quit his job on MSNBC. He had a late night show, like 11 o'clock at night. He did that for a year or two and just said, this is not what I want to do. And no word now whether or not he's going to be able to sort of reconstruct his career and get things going again. But anyhow, I digress. Lester almost never makes a mistake, which is why when he does, it's really fucking hilarious.
And tonight she's speaking out for the first time in an exclusive interview with NBC's Brandi Zovny.
And, you know, I still don't even know what he said. I don't know what he said. And here's somebody being interviewed, some sort of expert with the Defense Department, talking about security clearances and the fact that they were afraid about the way this kid was apprehended yesterday in Massachusetts, because they were afraid that if he knew that they were on their way to come and get him, that he might take even more information they had in his computer and disseminate it. But it didn't come out that way.
They didn't know how much this person had pulled down off of the systems, and perhaps were fearing that they'd do a massive dump.
And speaking of Fox News, because we were talking about the trial scheduled to begin next week, you know, Rupert Murdoch was supposed to get married again. And to pretty much everybody's surprise, he just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just cut it off. He just called it off. He's 92. I don't know how old she is. She appears to be maybe in her 50s or 60s. And it came, like I said, as a shock to everyone. What could have possibly produced such an abrupt break off of an engagement?
According to Vanity Fair, Rupert Murdoch may have separated from his fiancée, Anne Leslie Smith, after she said, Tucker Carlson is a messenger from God.
Well, what's wrong with that? Talk about overreacting. If I... God! Oh, man. There's screenwriters in Hollywood who are sitting there banging their heads off the wall because they're like, my imagination isn't fertile enough to come up with stuff like this. What's happening in real life is more bizarre than anything I could dream up for a script. It's not fair, I tell you. And according to new medical research, smoking marijuana could cause erectile dysfunction. I guess that means Woody Harrelson has to change his first name. Yeah, avoid lighting up a spiff if you want to remain stiff. What can I say? I'm an idea man. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Friday, April 14th, 2023 is in the can. We are here every weekday morning at 11 a.m. Please tell your friends that we're here doing this. That would help everything, really. Email me, JC at jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
Tucker Carlson is a messenger from God.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.